Now, you didn't actually see that video until after you wrote your statement.
I didn't see that video until approximately 2 weeks ago.
So, once the police took over, you couldn't, you moved away from where they were. I think you testified earlier that you moved back to do your job, correct?
Not back to doing my job, back to conversing with my manager, my supervisor about the events that had just taken place. We were in the exact same area as the incident took place, so there was not a whole lot of movement that had to been had to happen.
But you've now seen the conversation that Mr. Wilson was having with the police, correct?
Yes.
But you actually weren't standing right there during that time. You were actually...
Which part of the conversation? Because part of it, before they started to escort him off, I was standing right there, within 2 to 3 feet.
Right, but then you were about 10 to 15 feet away from him, correct?
At least, maybe more.
Okay. Actually, during the interactions with the police, you weren't close enough to actually hear the conversation, were you?
What part of the interactions with the police? Because as I've stated, there was some interaction with the police that I was close enough to hear.
Well, when you were asked, do you remember that your statement was taken? You actually met with my co-counsel and she took your statement?
I do remember that.
You remember that she asked you during his interactions with the police officers, she said, first you said, she asked you, did you swear at any time or use vulgar language? And you said, during his interactions with the police officers, I'm not aware because I wasn't close enough. During his personal interactions with me, no. That's correct, right? What you said?
I'm going to say yes, even though I don't recall that. That was several months ago.
Do you want to look at your statement? Do you believe that I'm reading it correctly?
I believe you're reading it correctly.
And she asked you how far away from, you call them, what's written here is LEO. You call them Leos?
Yes, we call them Leos for short, law enforcement officers. Okay. It's another acronym.
Okay. Just like the military.
Just like the government.
Yeah. Okay. How far, and the question was, how far away from where the Leos and Mr. Mosek were standing, and how far away were you when they were having the conversation? How many feet would you estimate? And you said 10 to 15 feet. Correct?
It depends. The conversation that the officers had with the passenger was, at one point in time in the video, I can even point out where I was at. As they moved away, of course, as they move away, I'm not moving with them, so it's going to become 10, 15, 20. Okay. Eventually, they're out of the checkpoint.
When the officer, you heard an officer say he's not flying.
That's correct.
At that point is when we're talking about.
Okay, at that point, again, I was probably, at that point, exactly maybe 5 feet away, maybe 10.
In your statement that you gave in November, you said you were 10 to 15 feet away.
That's a good possibility. Again, it's been 14 months since this has happened, and I've only met with people to interview once. And
So 10 to 15 feet, and you couldn't, at 10 to 15 feet, you couldn't hear what Mr. Mosek was saying, correct?
At times I could.
Was you were asked what happened during his interactions with the Leos, what happened at that point, and you answered, I wasn't part of the conversation, I wasn't close enough to hear the conversation that was going on. I do know that one of the officers told him he wasn't flying. I took, at that point in time, I took the passenger's boarding pass, handed it to one of the law enforcement officers, and at that point I stepped back and let them do what they were going to do. So So you never, in your statement, ever said anything about what Mr. Mosek said. You only talked about what you heard the officers say.
In the interview that day, that is correct.
And in the statement that you also wrote a statement, I think that's what you had in front of you, the day after this happened, correct?
No, I wrote this about 20 minutes after it happened.
20 minutes after it happened.
20, 30 minutes.
When it was fresh in your mind?
Yes.
Right. And you don't have anything in that statement about Mr. Mosek saying anything, do you?
No, I don't.
You need to refer to it to be sure?
If you don't mind.
Well, right here.
No, I do not have anything in my statement from 16 November that states that.
And you wrote that 20 minutes after it happened, right?
Approximately 20 minutes is when I started to write it. Probably completed it about an hour later.
And there's nothing in that statement about Mr. Mosek shouting as he was walking away with the officers, is there?
My statement ends before that ever happens.
Right, and you didn't say anything in your statement about that, did you?
In my statement, no, it does not have that.
And when you met with Ms. Schmidt-Noir, there was also someone from the prosecution there at that statement. So your statement, just so we're clear, was dated, I think it's dated November 16th, your statement that you have in front of you. Is dated November 16th, 2009. And that's the date that this actually happened.
That is correct.
Right.
As far as I know.
Right. More or less. Right.
Correct.
November of 2009.
Correct.
Okay. And you met with counsel in November of 2010, a year later, correct?
I don't recall when it was exactly. November sounds like a good time frame. It might have been earlier in the year.
Would you accept it if I tell you that it was in November?
Yes, I would.
And at that time, in addition to Ms. Schmidt-Noir being there, there was someone there from the DA's office, correct?
Yes.
Let me get the name of that person. Remember who that was?
I do not.
It was a woman.
I saw her in the hallway today. That's
okay, it was a woman from the prosecutor's office.
As far as I can remember, yes.
And in fact, when Ms. Schmidt-Noir was questioning you, you never said anything about Mr. Mosek shouting either, did you?
The question was never asked. Through the series of events with the interview, that question was never asked. What happened after my interactions and what was put in my statement?
Now, in fact, the way it came up, sir, was that the prosecutor said to you, I'll give you the context. First, she said, okay, so he, meaning Mr. Mosek, was amenable to using some mechanism that TSA has in order to confirm his identification, and you answered correct.
Yes.
And then she said, and I'll read this exactly the way it's written, and you're welcome to have a copy if you like one. Okay, is there anything else you remember? So at that point then, he was being led away and he was shouting, or I don't want to actually put words in his mouth.
Defense counsel just reading from the transcript. That like a phrase is a proper question.
It is a question, Your Honor. I just haven't quite got to the question part.
Okay. Make sure the part of the question was.
She said, at that point he was being taken away, he was shouting, or I don't want to actually put words in your mouth. And you answered, no, he was just shouting. Correct?
That is correct.
And then she said, He was saying, don't let people, don't let them search you. And you answered something to that effect. Again, I don't remember exact phrases, but I didn't write that down, correct? That's how it came up in that statement, correct?
That is correct.
In fact, the prosecutor is the one who said it, and then you just said correct. Both times.
Right. When she asked the question, it refreshed my memory again. The incident, at the point in time of the interview, you said it was in November of 2010. This incident happened in November of 2009. Over 12 months had taken place, and I hadn't referred back to my notes or anything like that prior to the interview.
Well, if you had referred back to your notes, you wouldn't have found anything about shouting, would you?
No, I wouldn't have, because I wouldn't have. I did not write it down. Again, my statement ended before he was let off.
You didn't think that was significant at the time you wrote your statement, did you?
At that time, no.
I'll pass the witness.
Be correct.
I think you explained earlier what the reasons are for the photography provisions to be in place, TSA policy. What are the reasons that the identity check provisions are in place in TSA's policy?
I'm not sure that's what we're required to do in order for a passenger to proceed through the checkpoint. That's what we enforce. I can't explain exactly why those rules are in place, though.
Now, if Mr. Mosek chose to exercise his right to remain silent, would you still have a right to board that plane?
I'm not sure I can actually answer that question, other than by saying the process that we use requires them to verbally answer questions.
So if you just refused to give you any information at all, would that have...
If he refused to give me any information at all, he wouldn't have been allowed to even start the process for identity verification.
Now, had he stopped filming and complied with TSA procedures, what would have happened?
I would have continued the process to verify his identity.
So it wasn't over at that point, is that what you're saying?
That is correct.
He could have resumed the process?
That is correct.
Now, you testified you didn't explain the TSA's filming procedures to him. Did he even give you the opportunity to do that?
From the looks of the video and from what I recall, no. Again, everything happened so fast between him asking the questions, making the statements, my supervisor arriving on the scene, the officers arriving. There wouldn't have been any time for me to explain anything in great detail or length.
I don't know if you'll know the answer to this, but the State's Exhibit 3 that shows the monitors, it was that photograph, I'm referring to that. It shows the sterile area.
Correct.
Do you know if that was given as under the conditions of Freedom of Information Act, or was it because it was requested by a defendant in a criminal case?
I have no idea.
Now, and did you see that photograph? Did it show any detail of what's shown on the monitors?
No, it doesn't. But again, it's not of high quality. None of the cameras that film our checkpoint are. They're all very pixelated.
Who's in charge of those cameras?
The Airport Operations Center, Albuquerque Aviation Police, have primary control over them. We do have the ability to view the cameras that are assigned to the checkpoint and two other areas that we work in, but we don't have the ability to control those cameras or anything like that. We can see live video. We can see video that has been previously recorded, but we can't manipulate it. We can't change the position of a camera. Most of the cameras that we have access to are stationary cameras.
And does TSA approve the positioning of the cameras?
I'm not sure.
Now, when a passenger tells you, as Mr. Wilson did, that he has a right to film in that situation, do you rely on his interpretation of TSA policy, or do you rely on your interpretation?
If it's not something that I consider myself either subject matter expert or well-versed in, I'll always consult with the supervisor or manager to get further clarification or interpretation on.
Okay. Do you automatically assume that the passenger is right?
No.
Okay. All right. One moment, please. Okay. No further questions, John.
Can the witness be excused?
He may. I believe we're going to reserve it.
Okay.
Let me approach before he's.
Okay, well, they said they're going to reserve it. Does that change your right to approach?
No.
I said you need to be excused, and you said yes, but we're going to reserve it.
Well, he needs to be excused from the witness.
But he's not excused. He's reserved.
Okay. I see the distinction on there.
I know, but I hang on the words.
Okay.
Awesome. You want to come up first?
Yes, please.
Okay, please. Bear with us, ladies.
Address. It's got a Privacy Act statement, and again, I might miss something. I'm trying to recall this form off the top of my head. It's got a space for the passenger signature and the date that the form was completed.
Okay. And does it have a place on it that says if the current address is unavailable, to provide a previous address? That's not.
I can't. It sounds familiar, but I can't say with 100% certainty that that's on there. Again, I'm trying to go over it in my head because I don't have a copy of it.
May I approach?
You may. Has the state seen this? Or do you wish to see it?
We'll save time and we'll mark it.
Okay, for identification.
Yes. We'll mark it for identification as defendants A.
A.
Surely was remarked to defend us due to the investigation. That looks like the document you said?
No, it doesn't.
How is that different from the document you saw?
The document that we were using at the time of the incident, again, has the sensitive security information statement on the bottom of it, and the font sizes are different, the layouts are different. This is not the document that was used that day.
Did it have the same information on it? You said it required a name, current address, signature, and a date. That's the information, correct?
That's the information that's required in the form, yes.
Right. And this form also says it's, you said that they were 49 USC section 114F and 49 CFR sections 1540.105A2. That's correct too, isn't it?
I didn't state that. Those are Privacy Act, Court of Federal Regulations that I'm not aware of.
So this is not the same document, but it has the same information on it.
It appears that way.
They have the same information, it just doesn't have the SSI on it.
It appears to be that way. There are a couple blocks missing at the bottom of the form in addition to the SSI statement. Again, the font sizes are different, but this appears to be somewhat of a replication of the form.
Of the form. And the block that's missing at the bottom that has the, other than the SSI information, what are those other
blocks? If I'm not mistaken, again, I'm trying to recall off the top of my head because I don't have a copy of that form. There are blocks at the bottom that state clear, not clear. I think that's it. Officer name, representative name, something like that. There are a couple more fields underneath all this on the actual form.
But other than that, this looks like a replica of that form, correct?
It looks like somebody tried to reproduce the form. It doesn't look like a photocopy or anything like that.
Have you ever seen the traveler identity verification form that TSA has?
Not that I'm aware of, but I'm not sure what form you're referencing.
Okay, any other questions, John?
Okay. State any questions and follow up.
Just one question. If somebody had brought this particular form, the one you had in front of you, to a trained TSA officer, would they mistake that for the sensitive security information form you were mentioning before?
They should not. I can't say with 100% certainty what anybody else within TSA properly trained would do. I do know that I would not accept this form because it is not the form that is given to us by TSA.
Thank you.
So then are we back to the point where the officer is being reserved?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Our purpose is to be excused, so.
Okay, the state's reserving him now. Okay, sir, you're being reserved. What that means is you no longer under oath at this point, but you're still in the admonishment to discuss your testimony with anybody else that may testify in the case. Okay, to discuss your testimony with anybody until the case has been resolved, you've been excused. So as of now, you can step down, but let them know how to get you back. So.
Okay.
Thank you. So that top form comes to me, and the other one you brought.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Can we have a lot of questions?
Thank you.
There's more. But it's getting late. Yeah, I have to do some beauty sleep. So it's 4:30. What I'm going to do is recess the trial until tomorrow morning. What I would ask you to do is we're going to send you back to the jury room, send you home. Please be back in the jury room on the second floor tomorrow at 9:15. You don't have to sleep with the juror badges, but if you go out someplace to a fancy restaurant or the mall or something, please, because this case could stir up some conversation. I have to admonish you again, avoid any news or other accounts, written publications, whatever, that may describe this case. If it means not watching TV tonight, you can DVR it or have somebody tell you what your favorite show is doing. But if you do news breaks during the course of other shows and such, and I really don't want to do this all over again, so please avoid all news accounts of this. Do not discuss the case with anybody, no matter how hard they wish to press you. If you don't love me, if you don't tell me about it, yes, they do. We'll see you back tomorrow at 9:15 in the jury room on the second floor. Those, if you would, please leave for us. And take all your personal belongings with you. Have a good evening. We will see you back tomorrow morning. All rise, please. Have a seat, please. Matter, we did have one of the jurors that had the doctor's appointment late today that switched it to tomorrow. If she can't be here because it took 6 months to get this appointment type of thing, we have an alternate. And my proposal just would slide the alternate on in and we continue to march. So just letting you all know. State, anything before we recess?
No, Your Honor. Well, I guess since these exhibits have been admitted, those be shall be turned
to the
court.
Yes.
Okay.
And defendant's A for identification is not. So,
and the disc.
If you want me to keep it, I can just mark for identification. But actually, I prefer not to because if there's the possibility of a de novo, then I don't want to get confused with the bond.
Well, I don't want to get confused.
Yeah.
Because
that has happened. Okay, so defense, anything before we recess? Okay. Then, folks, if I could have you back here at 9:30 tomorrow. I've got 8:30s and 9 o'clock to run through and clear, and then you've got the 9:39.
Okay.
We'll see you back at 9:30 tomorrow morning. Thank you, folks. Thank you.